90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, November 11th, is Veterans Day, and we're going to do something different. I've called around and got a few people, and they're going to tell their stories about being a veteran, what serving means to them. But before we get to that, our first guest is going to be Master Sergeant Joe Smith, who's retired from the United States Air Force. I want to give people the origins of Veterans Day. In 1921, an unknown World War I American soldier was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. This site on a hillside overlooking the Potomac River and the city of Washington, D.C. became the focal point of reference for American veterans. Similar ceremonies occurred earlier in England and in France, where an unknown soldier was buried in each of the nation's highest place of honor, in England, Westminster Abbey, in France, the Arc de Triomphe. These memorial gestures all took place on November 11th, giving universal recognition to the celebrated ending of World War I. Fighting ended at 11 a.m., November 11th, 1918, the 11th hour, the 11th day, and the 11th month. The day became known as Armistice Day. Armistice Day officially received its name in America in 1926 through a congressional resolution. It's become a national holiday 12 years later by similar congressional action. If the idealistic hope had been realized that World War I was going to be the war to end all wars, November 11th might have been called Armistice Day, but only a few years later, after the holiday was proclaimed, war broke out in Europe. 16.5 million Americans took part. 470,000 of them died in service in more than 292,000 battles. The first celebration using the term Veterans Day occurred in Birmingham, Alabama in 1947. Raymond Weeks, a World War II veteran, organized National Veterans Day, which included a parade and other festivities to honor all veterans. The event was held on November 11th, then designated Armistice Day. Later, United States Representative Edwin Rees of the state of Kansas proposed a bill that would change Armistice Day to Veterans Day. In 1954, Congress passed the bill that President Eisenhower signed, proclaiming November 11th as Veterans Day. Raymond Weeks received the Presidential Citizen Medal from President Ronald Reagan in 1982. Weeks' local parade and ceremonies are now annual events celebrated nationwide. The focal point for official national ceremonies for Veterans Day continue to be the Memorial Amphitheater built around the Tomb of the Unknowns. At 11 a.m. on November 11th, a combined color guard representing all military services executes President Arms at the tomb. The nation's tribute to its war dead is symbolized by laying a presidential wreath, the bugler plays taps, and the rest of the ceremony takes place in the amphitheater. Veterans ceremonies at Arlington and elsewhere are coordinated by the President's Veterans Day National Committee, chaired by the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. The committee represents national veterans organizations. Governors of many states and U.S. territories appoint Veterans Day chairpersons who, in cooperation with the National Committee and Department of Defense, arrange to promote local ceremonies. So, folks, there's the history of Veterans Day for you. Good morning, Master Sergeant Smith, retired. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, Mr. Jackson, I'm doing great today. How about you?
I'm doing well. And you are calling in from the great state of Mississippi and in the city of Columbus, I'm correct?
That is correct.
So, as we get started, we know your name. Why did you decide to serve in the military, sir?
Well, first of all, Mr. Jackson, let me thank you for having me on your show today. I really appreciate it, and I'm honored to be on here.
Well, thank you for your service, and I thank you for agreeing to help with this Veterans Day presentation and tribute, sir, and salute.
Okay. You know, I'm asked that question a lot over the years. Why did I decide to serve in the military? And it's really very simple, what I tell people. At the time, it was the only way I could see getting out of the cotton and tobacco fields in North Carolina. I grew up on a farm in Hope County, North Carolina, and not far from Pope Air Force Base in Fort Bragg. And while I was out there in the cotton field and tobacco field, I used to see airplanes from Hope flying over. And I know when I was a little bit of a boy, I asked my granddaddy one day what those planes were all about. He explained all to me. And I said, oh, yeah, that seemed very interesting. So as the years went by, I see the airplanes flying, so I thought, think what Air Force is away from me. And I told my mother when I was a teenager, I know now I'm going to leave this cotton in the backfield. So a few years later, I was probably about 13 or 14, a classmate of my older sister had joined Air Force, and he came home from basic training, and he was wearing his dress blues. And I thought he looked so sharp. I said, no doubt, this is it. I want to be a part of the Air Force. And so from that moment on, I had my mind set. I'm going to the Air Force because I just wanted to be a part of it.
How old were you when you joined the military?
Okay, I was 18 years old when I joined the military. And I had graduated from high school on June the 3rd, 1965. I was in basic training on June the 7th, 1965. And I tell the story with some people, well, why you go so quick right out of high school, you know? And my reason I went so quick out of high school because about April of my senior year, my mother said to me, son, this summer, what are you going to do? And I told her I was going to kick back and hang out with my friends a little bit before I go to Air Force in September. And she said, there won't be no hanging out and kicking back with your friends this summer. Then she said, if you and I don't have a job, you're going to a tobacco farm. So I decided I didn't want to go back out in the tobacco field or anything. So I called a recruiter and said, hey, I need to get in the Air Force as soon as possible. So that's how I ended up going, no sooner than I graduated.
So your mom said there was going to be a free, no freebie summer on her. You were either going to be working or you were going to be gone, one of the two.
One of the two. That was my choice.
So what did you do?
I better go on and get on in the Air Force. And that, you know, that was great, though, because had she not said that to me, I may not have went to the Air Force. I might have started hanging with my friends or whatever. I might have gotten in trouble, changed my mind. And I know that one of the greatest things that happened in my life was joining the military.
What did you do in the military, sir?
Okay, basically what I did, I was a recreation specialist and a club manager during my early years. That's what I did. And basically as a recreation specialist, you know, we provided recreation activities for the military personnel during their leisure time for their morale, well-being, and physical fitness. And then I also was the open mess manager. And I would run the club for years up until I became a senior NCO. And at that point, I became superintendent. My last 8 years in the military, I was superintendent for my squadron, whatever base I went to.
So your highest rank here was Master Sergeant. And for those that may not be familiar, that is E7. So you were only two ranks below the highest enlisted grade.
That is correct.
What is it that you would like people to know about serving in the military?
One of the things I'd like them to know is that the military provides valuable experience and training that's unavailable in the civilian workforce. And the training is free. It is a kind of invaluable education and training that is very desirable for civilians and employers. So I just think that the military is a great way to go for a person if they're not looking at going to college, some other thing. It's a great thing to do. It would really help them out late on in life.
Yeah, that is one thing. And what people also don't understand is that it's a great way to pay for college. That was one of the reasons why I joined the Air Force also, is because I was going to college here locally at Penn Valley, and one of the people sat down and said, well, you only be about $100,000 in student loan debt when you retire, and you mean when you get your degree. And I'm like, no, we'll find a better way. And for me, that was like you. It was a way to be able to – I used the military as a way to get to my next step that I wanted to get to. And I will say it, not only did it pay for an associate degree, but it paid for two associate degrees, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and I was toward my PhD. So – and all that without any – student loan debt. But as you will testify, sir, you have to give to get. So, you know, you may not be able to go to class this semester. I've been in two combat zones. There are things you have to do to be able to get to the next step. How do you think your experience in serving in the military impacted your life?
Well, basically, it's still strong values and selfless service and loyalty. And the way I think it impacted me, it made me to want to reach out and help people more. Just by being in the military and that family atmosphere, it made me want to have that outside of the military in the local community stuff. So it got me involved in the local community when I was on active duty, and also as I'm being retired, I do the same thing.
That sense of service, helping others and giving of yourself, is something that anybody who's ever served in the military knows. You may not go in the door with it, but you come out of the door with it.
Right. And one of the things, too, that I like to point out about being in the military, you know, you get to see the world. You get to a lot of places. And if we have time, I'd just like to tell some of the places I've been to.
Sure.
Okay. I actually had 3 tours of duty in South Korea, and I also served in Turkey. I served in the Philippines. I served in Texas, Washington, D.C., North Dakota, New York, South Korea, Colorado, and North Carolina. And I've had many temporary duty assignments all over the country and all over the world, a lot of places I've been, temporary duty. And I got to see the world that otherwise I would never have had a chance to do that. And that was just a valuable experience, just about what I've seen and learned, other cultures and things from different parts of the world.
You're so right. That is one of the things, when I went overseas, the many times as I did, I was able to see things. Like, I was able to see Verona, the home of Romeo and Juliet. I was able to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I've seen there. I've been pictures there. I've been to Venice and had coffee in St. Mark's Square. I have watched them blow glass on the island of Murano, seen the pyramids. There are many things that I've done that I would have never been able to do had it not been for the military. And I know you can probably definitely say the same. And everywhere you go, it's a different experience. You know, I served almost 9 months in Italy. I served 8 months in the Gulf, different places. You know, I've been to Bahrain. But we were part of a brotherhood and a fraternity where we got to see things that other people only read about in books. We got to see them firsthand.
Right. And with me, you know, I've made friends in the military that I've had, you know, for life, ever since I've been there. Even though in my early years, still keeping contact with some people I met years ago.
So what advice would you give to a young person, young man, a young woman who came up to you and said, I'm considering joining the military?
Well, I would tell them, yes, give it some serious thought. And if you really decide you want to go into the military, I like to kind of steal a little of the slogan kind of from the Army, be all you can be. And give it all, you know, put your heart, soul, mind all into it. And take advantage of any opportunity to come available for advancement or training or education in the military. Give it your best.
Okay, we can't be still an Army slogan. We got to say aim high. We want you to aim high. We are not. That's way better than being all you can be. And I know my next guest is probably going to be having a what's the name with that? He's going to be probably having an issue with that. But yeah, definitely. It's aim high, not be all you can be. So thank you, Master Sergeant Smith. Do you have any parting words or things that you would like to say?
No, I think I said about everything.
Well, I want to thank you so much, sir, for your service and for calling in and being part of our Veterans Day salute. And I hope you have a great and happy and wonderful Veterans Day, sir.
Thank you. You have a wonderful Veterans Day, too.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
So our next guest is Staff Sergeant Don Diego Warren, who is locally here, and he's actually my brother-in-law. He's a retired Army, but we won't hold that against him. Good morning, Don Diego. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, good morning. And you know I go by Don most of the time, so make it easy on people.
So you have kind of... First, thank you for your service, and thank you for calling in and being a part of our Veterans Day salute here. And your name is Don Warren, So I asked you the same thing I asked. I asked our Air Force guest. So what made you decide to serve in the military?
Service the country. I was a very patriotic young man. I was 19 years old, so just motivated to go in and serve. And I have a lot of family that served in all the branches. So just part of the family history.
So how old were you when you joined the Army?
19 years old. Very young, but ready to go.
What made you decide to pick the Army as your branch? And for those who may not know, there's the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Marines, and the Air Force. The Air Force is the youngest of the branches, and the Army is the oldest of the branches.
Well, for me, it was just I wanted to be hardcore, hula, wanted something, you know, challenging. And, of course, I love that slogan, be all you can be. So I know it's changed since I was in, but I always still love that one.
So what did you do when in the military?
I was in the signal communications. I worked with telephones, cable, and wire. Now, as you know, I did 1,000 other things, but that was my primary job.
Yeah, that one word and other duties as assigned in the military has a whole total new connotation, because you can get any other duties as assigned. You can be walking around the corner and you just volunteered and got assigned for something. So it is not what people think. So,
but yeah, it was great because I got to do a lot of awesome, fun things, from the mail room to driving trucks to being that Army recruiter.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that Army recruiter thing here in a bit. So your highest rank held was Staff Sergeant, that is E6, correct?
Correct.
You did cable work, you were a recruiter, you do other duties as assigned. But before we talk about that, what is something you would like for people to understand about serving in the military?
That it has a lot of great benefits. I know for me personally, it was great. But even as a recruiter, I let people know that it's not for everybody. That, you know, not everybody's cut out to deal with the level of discipline. And you got to give up some rights and privileges. You can't necessarily go wherever you want to go when you feel like it. Say what you want to say, do what you want to do. There are restrictions. And so you got to be okay with that, giving up some of those rights to do whatever you want when you feel like it.
Yeah, that is the things. The Bill of Rights have no meaning when you're in the military, because free speech, you gave that up when you signed the contract. You said what people definitely need to know is that this is the only contract that you signed. I remember signing mine well. It was 8 pages long. The last 2 lines said, do you understand that death is an occupational hazard, and that by signing this contract, you can end up dying? And that is something that people definitely need to understand, is that it is definitely service before self in that situation. But now you became, how long were you a recruiter?
4 years, my last 4 years.
So when people came to you and said, I want to join the Army, how did you explain to them what they would be getting themselves into?
You do the general, you know, going through basic training or whatever, and that's just temporary. It's going to be rough, but it's just a stress test. It's what I said to my nephew who joined the Florida National Guard, because I'm originally from Florida. And that's what I told him. That, hey, if you can hang for those 8 weeks or however long you're there, remember, it's just a mind game, you know. Yeah. Whatever you're dealing with, so it's no sweat.
And you are definitely correct. It is definitely, if anybody would ever want to decide to join up, and I'm definitely not against it because I too reaped a lot of benefits of it. It is basic training, as you said. It's a stress test. It's a mind game. It's to see exactly how far you can go. Because you thought you had limits. You now have totally new limits, and lack of sleep, endurance. Can you keep going when your body says it's tired and you find another way to keep going. I know, did you ever have any funny things happen to you while you were in basic training?
We did what was called fire guard, where we took turns walking around the building, making sure everyone is safe while they're sleeping. And I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky, by the way, and ran up on a skunk crossing by in the middle of the night, me and my flashlight. So I came to attention real quick. You know, you learn to come to attention when you stand perfectly still, you're not moving around. And when that skunk crossed, I came to attention real quick. So that was my funny, crazy moment for basic trainer.
That's definitely something you definitely want to stand in attention and not move, because you may have a hard time getting back in the dorm if he decides that you are enemy and not friendly.
Oh, that's for sure. I gave him all the respect he reserved.
So did you get to see any places around the world? Where are some of the places that you travel that you love going to?
Germany in particular, did that from 88 to 91. So I was there when the wall came down between East and West, and I was there for the first Gulf War during that time as well. And my wife drug me to Paris. My family didn't travel a lot, but hers did. So we went to see Paris, the Eiffel Tower, saw the Mona Lisa, just to name a couple of things. And then we went to Korea twice in the 90s for 1 year hardship tour. That was awesome, shopping down there, get some nice stuff made for very cheap. And ate good, too, in both places.
And you're supposed to be serving. You're not supposed to be shopping. But I understand. People don't understand. There were two places that you always wanted to go in the military. One was Korea. The other was the Philippines before the volcano. Because you could have Nikes made in colors that wasn't even sold on Nike's chart. You could have all these different things because a lot of that stuff comes from overseas. And there are people who were able to get things that they still treasure today because of that military service. And like you said, right, being able to see the Mona Lisa, you know, something that you may have saw in a book.
Right.
But you didn't know the experience of it until you actually got there and you saw it. And then you getting to see Paris, you know, the City of Lights, going there. You know, what people may not understand is that it may cost, if you right now wanted to go to Paris, it may cost you $5,000 to $10,000. You were able to go for free. So that was definitely a benefit that you enjoyed. How do you think your experience or your service in the military impacted your life?
That was awesome for me because, you know, it just made me more disciplined, pay a lot of good attention to detail, and having a great work ethic, and just life being easy, that because you've gone through the military and you've toughed it out, when you get out, the simple stuff that the average person complains about or whines and cries, you're like, huh, you know, you don't know what I've been through. And so I think that's one of the greatest takeaways, is that all the petty stuff that people have issues about on their job or whatever is like, you haven't been through nothing yet. So you've been through basic training and a lot of the field exercises that I've been through.
And that is definitely something that people, it's not like an ordinary 9-to-5. You know, when you go to the field, you're essentially working 18 to 20 hours a day. I know when I was in the Gulf during the war, it was, my work schedule was 18 and a half hours a day. And that was 6 days a week. I got 1 day off per week, and that was on Tuesday. And I used to hang a sign on my door that said, knock on the penalty of death, because, you know, waking me up on my 1 day that I was able to get to sleep in, because, you know, it was, you needed that sleep. And what people also need to understand is that things in the military, something that may not be a crime in the civilian world, not showing up to work on time, missing a movement, those are things that can get people really in trouble in the military, and something that you really need to understand the significance of that.
And adultery in there, too, because people don't don't realize that.
Yes,
if you're cheating on your spouse, that's against the law in the military.
Yes, that is one of the things that you can be put out of the military for that. You can lose rank for that. You can, you know, there's a lot of different things. They can even put you in. They still have a brig. They can still put you in the brig for that if your commander wanted to, just depending on that. So what are some of the other benefits you were able to take advantage of?
Let's start with having a house built when I was down in Fort Hood, Texas, from the ground up. Converting my military experience into college credit. Got 30 credit hours for that. Once I retired, I went back to school for 5 years full-time. 4 years at Abilene University with a bachelor's degree, 1 year advanced standing master's at KU. And so just awesome paying for those education, and had a bachelor's while I was in and as well. So can't complain to go to school and to graduate debt-free. They paid for everything and paid me to go to school, monthly stipend.
So and that's because you took advantage of the GI Bill, something that,
right.
You know, it may not seem like a lot, but, you know, $100 a month for a year, but then once you turn around and decide to get out, you get that $100 a month back in spades, because it's worth about $40,000 now for a GI Bill. So you're going to put in about $1,200. They're going to kick in about $39,000 that will give you money to go to school for 3 years and earn a degree. And that's not something that you have to stay retire and get. That's something that you go in and stay 4 years. When you get out, you've got that money to go to college.
Right. Because I work with students. I have to give a shout out to the awesome Blue Ridge Elementary School where I work. And the young people ask me, how can I go to college without having to go into debt? I'm like, that's an awesome question. The military is an option for you. And so I got to share along those same lines of, hey, it's an option, but it's not the only option. And if you can handle it, it's a great deal. I mean, retiring at 39 years old, going at 19, retire at 39, there's not a lot of people that can say that.
No, that is not. And the retirement system has changed. It used to be that you would just get your retirement. Now it's more like an average of your top three grades, but also the military folks has a 401k pension plan that they do matching on. So they've upped their game, just like the civilian sector. You know, you can get a 401k there. You can get one now in the military. And I will say this. I have a young girl that I know she graduated high school 2 years ago. She wants to be a nurse, and she joined the Army, and she's now serving in Germany, and she is gotten her associate's degree. She went into the medical field, so when she set things up so that when she gets out, her GI Bill will be more than enough to pay for her nursing, her BSN in nursing, so she'll be good to go. So she's only going to have to use about 2 years worth of that. She'll graduate debt-free and have money left over to pay for her master's degree in nursing should she want to do that within that time frame. So there are a lot of benefits, folks. There's a lot of hard work.
Right.
But if you're able to, as you said, get past basic training, you are able to get to the next step to do what you want to do and do what you want to do and enjoy. So it's one.
I want to add another benefit of being more well-rounded as a person, because when you go to those other countries and you have to live with other people from different races, different cultures, you get to learn a whole lot more than you would ever learn just staying on your block. And so it forces you, because you got to actually live in the barracks with them. You don't get to choose your roommates. And sometimes you got 8 or 9 of them or more. And so you're forced to learn other people's culture and learn how to get along, and that teamwork, team spirit type thing.
It brings a new meaning to the word teamwork makes the dream work. I don't know about for you guys, but there were 50. I slept in an open bay dorm with 50 other people. So, you know, there were 25 on one side, 25 on the other. And it was teamwork. You know, not everybody could take a shower at the same time. Not everybody could get up and do all the different things. You had the iron, you had to shine your shoes. So you really figured out a rhythm and a workable rhythm for you, but not only you, but for the other people that were in the bay with you.
Definitely.
So what advice would you, well, I know I asked that, but I would, if somebody came to you now, you've been a recruiter, and you said, you know, I really want to consider joining the military, what would you say to them first?
Why? What is your interest? We were taught to find a young person's passion and show them how the military, or the Army in particular, could help them achieve that. So the question now is, well, why are you interested? What is your goal? Because believe it or not, even as I was recruiting for the Army, if a kid wanted to go to the Air Force, that's great. You want to go to Marine Corps, Navy, whatever. I just told him to make up your mind, because it's a lot of paperwork and time that goes into recruiting people. We have to do background checks on everywhere you live, worked, and went to school, so it's a lot of time and paperwork. So I just told them to decide, depending on what they wanted to do, you know, what were their interests were. And so listening to the young person and, of course, the family as well, because, you know, if mama says no, the young person's not going to go, as we used to say.
That is true.
So, and so finding out what the parents are feeling, because I got friends that their son is getting ready to join the Air Force. So you can say yay for that. I didn't twist his arm. I didn't do it when I was a recruiter. I don't do it now. Just let them make the decision, because if I forced them to go in the Army because that's what I wanted, and they really wanted to go to the Air Force, they're not going to be happy.
Exactly.
Or any other branch for that matter. But just finding out what their interests are and try to get them to have several different things in mind, because what they're looking for might not be available, and that's something that was important. That you might want to be a cook, but if that's not available right now because those slots are filled, then you got to have plan B and C available.
You always got to have an Alpha, a Bravo, a Charlie, and Plan D. So it's not, and Plan D is when all other three plans have failed, you know you are in trouble. So, yes. So as we close out here, before we go take a break, do you have anything else you would like to say to anybody or say about Veterans Day and your service to our nation?
I'm just proud to have served. If I had to do it all over again, I would definitely do that. Had the benefit of going in and stressing that when I went in, for the Christians that might be listening, yes, I was a believer when I went in. I became a believer at 8. Didn't lose my religion when I joined the military. I got closer to God, became an ordained minister and pastor, done a lot of great things for the Lord while I was in. So it doesn't stop. Even in basic training, you can go to the chapel service. We have chaplains. And so just to clarify that not everybody goes in and starts cussing and drinking and smoking and doing all the other crazy things that people do, that you can live a good life, a clean life, even as a soldier, sailor, or whatever, airman.
We're going to stop putting the Air Force at the end. We're aiming high today. We're trying to aim high today, so we're going to do that. So, Don, thank you for calling in and telling us your Veterans Day story. Thank you for your service, and thank you also for being part of our Veterans Day salute.
Thank you. You have a great day, sir.
You too. So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI. This is Kansas City's community radio station. This is Cowtown Conversations, and I'm your host. Stay tuned right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM. And today is our Veterans Day salute for all those who have served. There are some of our great businesses locally are giving out free benefits and perks to veterans today. Price Chopper, they're giving veterans 500 points, which is good for 25 cents off a gallon of gas. So if you're near Price Chopper, you can stop in and get your points. Hy-Vee is doing a breakfast special from 6 to 10 a.m. And then after the breakfast special, they're giving 15% off your grocery purchase. So good way to save some money there. Starbucks is giving a free 12-ounce coffee for veterans and their spouses. So anybody who's ever served, you may not go in the military with a coffee habit, but you will definitely come out with it with one. So it's a good way today to get a free 12-ounce cup of coffee. Tonight, Golden Corral is going to have their Military Appreciation Night, the Salute to Veterans, and they will give free veteran meal to anybody who served. They do ask that you bring proof of service, and it's from 5 p.m. to close, so it's a great way to go out and see a lot of other people who've served. 54th Street Grill is doing a free veterans menu for those military and veterans, and they get a free meal up to $14. So it's definitely something that is, it's a free, as I said, it's no such thing as a free lunch, but it is a free lunch. So there's a couple of different benefits. If you're close to Lamar's Donuts, they're giving veterans a coffee and a free donut. So there's a lot. Wendy's had a breakfast special this morning up until 10:30 where you can go and get a free breakfast combo and just tell them you're there for the veteran special, and they'll definitely help you out. So I want to thank Master Sergeant Joe Smith and Staff Sergeant Don Diego, Don Warren. I'm going to tell a little bit about my story. You may hear me talk about military service, but I grew up in a military family. My dad was in the Army. My brother was in the Army. My dad's brother, he was in the Navy. My other uncle was in the Navy. My grandfather was in the Army. I can trace my military heritage and service back to the Civil War. And it was learning from my dad, listening to his stories, listening to the stories of my uncle, that made me, you know, I want to see what the military is about. So I went in a little bit late. I was 22 when I went in. And by that time, I kind of knew how it was. I had did Army ROTC in high school, so did 4 years of that. So I learned that. In actuality, for anyone thinking about enlisting, 4 years worth of Army ROTC means I didn't go in as an E1. I went in as an E3, a private. But there was a bigger benefit to it that I didn't know until I got to basic training, which was, since I already knew how to march, I already knew how to do all those different things, the same test that my mates took on day 30, I took that same test on day 5, and they said, well, if you pass that test on day 5, then you get to be out. As long as I didn't get in any trouble and get recycled, my basic training would be over in about 12 days. And I took the test, and I was able to get out. I had one close call. When we talk about boot camp stories, all the drill instructors used to sit at one table, and we used to hate going to meals because it was about eating as fast as you could. The first person, we set four to a table. The first person who ate, they could get up, leave their tray on the table. The second person had to take it. Then the third person got to get up and eat, leave their tray on the table. The fourth person had to take it. This one is one of those days when I was, unfortunately, the fourth person at the table, because you could be in mid-bite and nobody wanted to get up and take things up near where the drill instructor sat. And that was my day I got caught. So I had to take it to the window. And instead of going back the way I came, I was trying to get the first way out. So I went straight down the wall and I walked right behind all the drill instructors. And I was to the last one, and he happened to turn his head and see me. And that was a fun moment, because then they played basically cat and mouse with me for 10 minutes. Go away, come back, go away, come back. And after about 10 minutes of me not getting upset, they just said, get out of our face. They wanted to find a way to, as we talk about the mental aspect of it, and just didn't work. But one of the best pieces of advice that I got that's carried over to life was in basic training from a chaplain. And the chaplain told me, he says, son, life is like a backpack. He said, you have to know when you're going to put stuff in it, when you're going to take stuff out of it. You have to make sure that it doesn't get too heavy, and you have to make sure that it doesn't get too light, because you may take something out that you need. And is that piece of advice that has stuck with me to this day, because what he was saying to me was always observe your situations to understand what's going on. And you can never go wrong as long as you're paying attention and you do your best. So I picked the Air Force in my case because my brother was Army, my dad was Army. I'd almost drowned once, so I didn't like water. So the Navy and the Coast Guard were out. The Marines, I had friends who had joined the Marines, and I'm like, no, I don't think I need that. And then my brother told me, my older brother said, well, if you join the Army, I'll kill you. So I had no other branch to go to but the Air Force. But I will say this, I enjoyed it. And it was more like a job. Once you came out of basic training and you went to technical school, it was more like a job. You know, get up and, you know, you go to work at 8, get off at 4, and, you know, you may go in at 9 and get off at 5. But it's definitely something that you get out of it what you put into it. So I was a services combat specialist, which means I've been in multiple combat zones, and I've been around the world. I've seen the Statue of David in Italy. I have been to Verona, home of Romeo and Juliet. I've had coffee in St. Mark's Square. I've seen glass blown in Moreno. I have seen the pyramids. I've seen a lot of things in books that I would have never seen in life. The Tower of Pisa, you know, had I not joined the military. And when I saw the Tower of Pisa, they would have the weights on it trying to counterbalance it to keep it from tipping over. So that was a point in time. But there are so many different things that you get to see and get to do that if you may not join up, it doesn't work. And it's a great, folks, it's a great way to give and get if you're going to go to college, because it paid for, as I said earlier, it paid for 2 associate's degrees, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and I was doing my PhD. And the place I served first was in Lubbock, Texas. And I attended Texas Tech, home of our great quarterback here. So I knew what Texas Tech was and saw the air raid system way before he got there. But also being a Texas Tech alum. So it's, you know, if you go to the stadium now, you see those double T's at the stadium, Texas Tech University. So it's a great place to live in Lubbock. It's definitely something that, you know, what I would want people to know about serving in the military is that it's a great way to totally change your life and to put you into a situation and places and see things that you never would have maybe thought that you would ever do in your life. But you have to give as well as you get. And that was one of the conversations my dad, God rest his soul, told me. He said, you're joining up, there's going to be things that you want to do that you can't do, and there's going to be things that you have to do that you may not want to do, but understand it was your decision and your choice, so you're getting something out of it, but also you have to give something to it. And, you know, it's the highest rank I held was E6, which was technical sergeant. I had a line number for E7 master sergeant, but I had retired right before I was going to put it on, so it was no benefit. Also, what people need to understand is that the military, if you do get hurt, it does compensate for that. You know, it's free medical service, you know, when you get out. But in some cases, you know, it may not be free, depending upon how you conducted yourself while you were in the military. Because as Don said, some things that are not a crime in the civilian world are a crime in the military, which could impact your status when you retire or when you get out, and could result in a discharge that may bar your life. So it's one of those things, as he said, think about what you want to do and how you want to do it. And, you know, then have a talk with your mom, your dad, somebody trusted you, because sometimes parents aren't always on the same path as you. But I can say this, for the things that I've did, the places that I've been, it is a path that if I would had to do it again, yes, I would do it again, because I gave a lot, but I also gained a lot. And the experience impacted my life because, you know, I was able to see things that I wouldn't have been able to see, as I've said, but also just learn a lot of things. And I met a lot of people who put into me. And one, there was a Staff Sergeant, Gerald V. Jones, who taught me a whole lot. He said, you know, you're a bright airman. He said, but you need to learn exactly how the military goes. And he took me to the side and mentored me for a couple of years. And if it hadn't have been for him, there had been no way that I would have been the airman that I was. Also, some of the things that I got to do, I was stationed at the home of Whiteman Air Force Base, the home of the B-2, and I had backfield access, and I could go out to the planes and the hangars. And then one day, it was on a Saturday, I had to do some escort duty, so I told my son, I said, why don't you go to work with me today? It's kind of, we're going to have some fun. He's like, He grudgingly went. He didn't know we were going back to where the plane was. And one of the pictures that I have is a picture of me and my son in front of one of the B-2s that was taken in front of Whiteman Air Force Base. I mean, his eyes were like saucers when he was able to see we were walking back and the gates to the doors opened up and the plane was there. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we're here for today. And he was able to sit and look around. That was all he could talk about for that weekend, was going to the airplanes and seeing the airplanes and seeing all the different air shows, because we've seen the Snowbirds, we've seen the Thunderbirds, we've seen the Blue Angels, we've seen a lot of different things that people who were not serving or not on military were able not to do. But also, as what Master Sergeant Smith said, one of the things also is that you come out of it with a sense of service, not only to yourself, but to others. And one of the things I did was, before I had kids, I would go over to the child care center a couple of days a week and sit down and talk and read to the kids. And I got used to coming. They got used to seeing me there. And it was one of those things. My commander didn't know. And then he found out. The lady said, there's an airman that comes to me in squadron every week. And he reads to the kids. So take time, folks, to pour into others, because somebody else has poured into you. And it's one of those things that there are so many blessings in helping others. You know, I've volunteered for so many different organizations. When we were overseas, we collected for those who were in Kosovo who were less fortunate, an orphanage. We took them different things. When I was in Italy, we did things also. But also got experiences being able to manage multi-million-dollar projects. You know, one of the things that for me was the hardest was I was in the Air Force on 9/11, and I had 65 people working for me, and we sat down and would eat together, and one of the young ladies started screaming, and the picture of the tower came on, and I told everybody, I said, you know, it's going to be a interesting day. Pick a buddy. Because where you go, your buddy goes. And for the next 4 days, we were in Threatcon Delta, and it was interesting. So, you know, I've seen that. I've seen the oil fires of Kuwait. I've seen a lot of different things in a lot of different countries. But as I said, give to get. So if you have somebody that's thinking about it, it's a great opportunity, a great way of advancement. As Master Sergeant Smith said, it was a way for him to get out of where he was at, to help him get to where he wanted to go. And as my brother-in-law said, you know, it was a way for him to, he built a house brand new. He graduated college debt-free, did all these different things, but it was also a way of self and service. So one funny thing that happened to me when we were on deployment, you know, all branches always kid each other. And what we were out, and if anybody, a Patriot missile, folks, stands 4 foot, it's 4 stories tall. and they were talking about the Air Force. So I was in overseas. So I said, well, let's play King of the Mountain. And they was like, how are we going? We have nothing to climb. I'm like, yes, we do. We have a missile. So I said, I'll go first. I climbed. The missile was extended, which means it was raised. I climbed all the way up the missile and got to the edge. No cables, no rope. Tossed my feet around the other side and said, take my picture. And they said, well, the game is over with because we're not going to climb the missile. So, but there's always friendly camaraderie between branches. And it's definitely something that, like I said, you remember your friends of places and where you've been and things you've done. So I want to say this, but I'm going to close out a little bit different. I want to thank our veterans for calling in and sharing their stories, and we never end Cowtown Conversations without our community minute. If you know of a veteran that is in need of help, or you can reach out to Veterans Community Project at 8900 Troost, and you can give them a call also at 816-599-6503. Hy-Vee is offering veterans 15% off today, and many other businesses are having that special to honor those who've served our nation. Next Monday, State Representative Jeff Coleman will have a Zoom conversation about property tax assessment. So Monday, November the 15th, there's going to be a Zoom conversation about property tax, and the conversation will start at 6:30. For more information or to get a link to the Zoom call 816-581-5662 or email swagner at mattierhodes, mattierhodes.org. So I want to close with this. To understand a military veteran, you must know we left home as teenagers or in our early 20s for an unknown adventure. We loved our country enough to defend it and protect it with our own lives. We said goodbye to friends and family and everything we knew. We learned the basics, and then we scattered in the wind to the four corners of the earth. We found new friends and family. We became brothers and sisters regardless of our race, creed, or color. We had plenty of time for good times and plenty of times of bad times. We didn't get enough sleep. We sometimes smoked or drank too much. We picked up both good and bad habits. We worked hard and played harder. We didn't earn a great wage. We experienced the happiness of mail call and the sadness of missing important events. We didn't know when or even if we were going to see home again. We grew up fast, and yet sometimes we never grew up at all. We fought for our freedom as well as the freedom of others. Some of us saw actual combat. Some of us didn't. Some of us saw the world. Some of us didn't. Some of us dealt with psychological warfare. Most of us dealt with physiological warfare. We've seen and experienced and dealt with things that we can't fully describe or explain, as not all of our sacrifices were physical. We participated in time-honored ceremonies and rituals with each other, strengthening our bonds and camaraderie. We counted on each other to get our job done and sometimes to survive it all. We have dealt with victory and tragedy. We have celebrated and mourned. We've lost a few along the way. When our adventures were over, some of us went back home, some of us started somewhere new, and some of us never came home at all. We have all told amazing and hilarious stories of our exploits and adventures. We share an unspoken bond with each other that most people don't experience and few will understand. We speak highly of our own branch and poke fun at the other branches. We know, however, that if needed, we will be there for our brothers and sisters and stand together as one in a heartbeat. Being a veteran is something that has to be earned and it cannot be taken away. It has no monetary value, but at the same time, it's a priceless gift. People see a veteran and they say, thank you for your service. When we see each other, we give that little upwards head nod and a slight smile, knowing that we have shared and experienced things that most people have not. So from myself to the rest of the veterans out there, I commend and thank you for all you've done and sacrificed for our country. To remember the good times and make peace with the bad times. Share your stories, but most importantly, stand tall and proud when you've earned the right to be called a veteran. I am a veteran. Happy Veterans Day to all my friends and family and those who served in the armed forces, to whom those had the privilege of serving with. You will always be my brothers and sisters. Thank you for helping me become the person I am today. So for Cowtown Conversations, I've been your host, Joseph Jackson. Stay safe, have a great day, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
Right now, let's hear Charlie Parker and the All-Stars doing for you How High the Moon. Hey!
And the time is 10 a.m. And if you have just tuned in, you've tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Please stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
Did you know that